going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right. It's Free for All Friday, a big, big weekend. Jazz Fest going on right now. Zurich Classic continues. It's a partly cloudy, warm Friday afternoon. It's going to get hot over the weekend. You've heard in the forecast, best chance of rain late this afternoon, and I think the weekend looks like it's going to be really nice, but it's going to be a little on the warm side. So we'll talk about all of that. We'll be talking about Jazz Fest on the show this afternoon. Also, a few other things to get to. We're going to try and stay away from politics, but we're going to have to talk about a couple of little things. All right, right now, reach over there and crank it up. This is what you have been working for. You know, it really is amazing, and I don't know what it is about this show. I don't know whether it's the same listening to the show, but doing this show just makes the week fly by. I mean, it's Monday, and I always talk about how, hey, don't be down. It's Monday, but, you know, it's going to be Friday before you know it. And here we are. It's Friday again, the beginning of another weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to George Porter Jr. I saw him backstage at Wednesday at the Square this past Wednesday. And he came over to me and he said, Scoot, man, I listen to you every day. He's a very, very talented musician and just a great local artist. George Porter Jr., man, dude, I am proud to have you in our audience. Thank you. We'll be featuring some bumper music from some of the people who are performing at Jazz Fest today and this weekend. I posted a blog and also a conversation from one of our listeners yesterday. This is posted on the WWL.com website. It's also posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook, where you can read the comments and comment. It's also on Scoot on the Air Instagram. Now, it's titled, Should We Start Throwing Parents in Jail for the Crimes Their Kids Commit? We talked about this on the show yesterday, and I know this is a kind of a confusing topic, but at some point, you know, we have to use all that we have to hold those accountable for their wrongdoing. And I would suggest that not raising children, not parenting kids, classifies as wrongdoing. You know, you're not doing your job as a parent. That's wrongdoing. That's reckless behavior. It's, you know, just dereliction of your duties as a parent. So anyway, that is posted at Scoot on the Air Facebook and Instagram, and I'll read some of your comments from the Facebook page a little bit later in the show. So you just heard in our news with Courtney P., Willie Nelson turns 92 next week, and of course we'll talk about that when it happens. He's out with a brand new album. Now, you know, Willie Nelson is 92. Mick Jagger, I think, is 82. Paul McCartney is 81, 82. You know, these people are still performing. I mean, this is really incredible. And the most amazing thing about this is that the baby boomer generation grew up with this idea that youth was everything. At one point, Mick Jagger said, I don't want to live past 30. And at the time, I think he really meant it. The whole idea was anybody over 30 was old and insignificant. This was the mentality of the baby boomer generation when it was young. And then a little bit later, Mick Jagger said, well, I don't want to be playing Satisfaction when I'm 45 years old. Well, you know, we saw Mick Jagger recently at Jazz Fest, and he's killing it on stage at the age of 82. So, you know, look, if you're a millennial, Xer, boomer, well, if you're a boomer, hopefully you've taken care of yourself. But if you're a millennial, Xer, or Zoomer, take care of yourself. Man, there's a lot of life to live. And I grew up in a time when youth was everything. And once you reached a certain age, you were like past tense. It was over. Well, it ain't over. It's never over until you're like dead. So, you know, be prepared for a really great long life. And there's more information out there about how you can extend your life. And the healthier we become, the longer we live. And now there are pills that can keep us active past a certain age. Because there was a time when ED hit, well, that was it. It was over. That was it. Well, now there are so many treatments for ED that people are allowed to be relevant and active much later in life. So that's a really, really cool thing. All right, let's see. We'll talk about Jazz Fest 2025. It is underway. Is Elon Musk becoming the new Mr. Pillow guy? And by the way, have you seen Elon Musk recently? No, right? I guess Donald Trump kind of said, hey, Elon, you kind of got to get a little bit out of the spotlight. And since Tesla stock is down 71%, I guess he went to go try to take care of his company. We have talked this week about the movie Conclave. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, and I'll tell you how you can see the movie this weekend. I mean, it's streaming everywhere. I forgot where I streamed it, but I streamed it either Sunday or Monday. The movie Conclave, and I wanted to see this when it was in the theaters, but it's out of the theaters, but you can stream it. The movie is about what goes on in the Catholic Church behind the scenes politically when a pope dies. Pope Francis just passed away. And views of this movie have gone up 283%. It's very relevant. As I said in the blog that I wrote, in fact, I wrote a blog about this. It's on our website at WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page if you want to check that out. And I'll read some of the comments from that post as well. It's very slow in the beginning. And if you remember in The Godfather, how you were kind of confused the first time you saw The Godfather, with all these Italian names being mentioned, all these different names. A lot of names were mentioned. And I was confused the first time I saw The Godfather. In fact, I don't think I really caught up with everything until about the fourth or fifth time I saw it. Oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. Anyway, the movie kind of starts out that way. A lot of names being mentioned. It's kind of slow in the beginning, but stick with it because it's worth it. And there's kind of a surprise at the end, and I'm not going to reveal the surprise at the end, but I'll tell you this. The surprise at the end confirms that the Catholic Church indeed has and keeps secrets. And there is this mystique about the Catholic Church and what goes on behind the scenes when they're trying to figure out who's going to be the next pope. So Conclave is really an interesting watch. You might want to watch it this weekend. When I was watching it, I mentioned this the other day. When I was watching it, I felt like I was watching the news. And I was watching like live video of what's going on behind the scenes at the Vatican when they're giving up their cell phones or giving up everything to go into this conclave to determine who's going to be the next pope. No contact with the outside world. And it's really interesting. And I'm not surprised about the politics at play because I knew that existed. But I guess I was a little bit surprised about some of the things that I saw in the movie Conclave. So you might want to watch it because it's very relevant to the Pope passing away. All right, let's see. Also, oh, by the way, if you don't have them yet, I know some people think Trump is not serious, but Donald Trump is now selling Trump 2028 caps and shirts. Are you buying? All right, let's see. What else do we have to talk about? George Santos, the ex-Republican congressman, George Santos. sentenced to 7 years in prison. You know, this guy was just from the very beginning, he was just a bad seed. Just really a bad seed. And that's no reflection on Republicans in general. But he was just a bad seed. Also, Ryan Gosling is going to star in the new Star Wars movie, set for release in 2027. Another Star Wars movie, and Ryan Gosling starring in another movie. Man, he's hot. He's like a good-looking guy. But Ryan Gosling is, you know, he's like one of the hottest actors right now to get in your movie. And, I mean, he's like when Tom Cruise was on top. Ryan Gosling is on top right now. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, it is free for all Friday, so we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Try not to keep it serious. So if you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Free for all Friday.
Yeah, man.
George Santos in prison. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking about something that was said in the episode of the NAMBLA episode of South Park when one of the men was talking about Butters. And I'm thinking George Santos gets to prison and somebody's going to say, and his skin is soft as fresh linen.
Ugh.
You know, I mean, look, that kind of a femme type in prison, I don't know. Some people may like him, and he may actually like it. I don't know. I can't imagine that, but I don't know. Somebody might like it. All right, so let's see. A lot of great bumper music today. There's some interesting stuff on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. Plus, we're going to play some music from some of the performers who are performing at Jazz Fest this weekend. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your early text messages.
Here's a text that says, Conclave is not a documentary. Don't treat it like one.
No, it's fiction. But a lot of fiction is based on reality. If it's fiction that is just not even based on reality, that's sci-fi, that's science fiction. So it is fiction, but it's based on something. It's based on the reality that there's a lot of politics that's at play behind the scenes in the Catholic Church when a pope dies.
Here's a text that says, "I saw Conclave on election night, and I knew the twist beforehand, but I didn't know that it was a political drama. My entire audience gasped when they found out the secret."
Yeah, interesting. I mean, and the secret in the end reveals that the Catholic Church does keep secrets. Look, the pedophile priest molesting children, that was kept a secret. I don't know when that stopped. I don't know how recently that was kept a secret, but I think it's more recently than we would like to think. So it's all designed to protect the church. And my problem as a Catholic, my problem with the church, is that the church is more important in protecting its image than it is in doing really the work of Christ and the work that it should be doing.
I'll leave you with this one. You spoke a little bit about how ED treatments have kind of changed things for men in the recent decades. Here's a text that says, duct tape works well for me. That's my ED remedy. It's cheaper than the blue or yellow pill.
Ouch!
What?
Duct tape?
How?
Ouch.
What is that even?
Ouch.
I don't.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Look, we're going to have to draw stick figures here.
Get a diagram or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because I don't get that either.
I'm leaving it alone.
All right. Do you want to join us? The Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. On stage at Jazz Fest tonight, this is going to be at Congo Square. Gladys Knight be the last show at Congo Square tonight. Oh, here's another person who has matured, still looks great, and still sounds great. It's going to be a big day at Jazz Fest. Some of you heading in that direction right now. We're also going to talk about some of your favorite food at Jazz Fest and what's the best way to get there. I'm Scoot. It's Free For All Friday, and we'll be back on...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left. Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
VWL. I really like this band. This band is titled Lovers. The name is Lovers. Capital L, capital VV, capital R, capital S. Lovers. They're from Southwest Louisiana, and they've got a great sound, original music. They are just getting off stage at Jazz Fest. River Gibson is a lead singer and puts on really quite a show. This band has really, really great potential. They really do, and I hope they make it, because I think they've got a really unique sound, and they do a great job on stage. Again, just getting off stage at Jazz Fest right now. I'm Scoot on the air. It's Free for All Friday. I was really excited. I was in the car last night, and I was listening to WWL, and I heard the first pick of the Saints, the number 9th pick in the first round, and the Saints selected Kelvin Banks, an offensive tackle from the University of Texas. Now, it's not one of those sexy picks. It's not a wide receiver. It's not a quarterback. It's not a running back. It's not a sexy pick. But these are the picks that are necessary. I mean, you can have an average quarterback that looks really, really great if you've got a great offensive line. You can have a great quarterback, and if you have no offensive line, he's not going to do a very good job. So the offensive line is so, so crucial. And I love this pick. Even though it's not a sexy, popular selection in the minds of a lot of people. A lot of the experts and people like the Saints think it's a great pick. I agree with that. Charlie Long is with the WWL sports team. He joins us here on WWL. Charlie, good afternoon.
Scoot, I echo your sentiments, man. It's, in the pre-draft process, Mike D'Antilier and I talked about this a lot, that it's a quote-unquote meat and potatoes draft. And it doesn't get any more meat and potatoes than Kelvin Banks Jr.
Yeah, you're right. No, look, I love this selection. When I heard this, I thought, yes. Because, again, you know, you can have a great quarterback. If you don't have an offensive line, he's not going to be effective. You can have an average quarterback with a great offensive line look really great.
And Kelvin is specifically a very high floor, you know, high character guy as well. In his 3-year career at Texas, he was a starting left tackle all 3 years there. And that's the University of Texas Longhorns. It's a pretty storied program. But he won so many different awards. He was the unanimous All-American back in 2024. He also won the Outland Trophy, the Lombardi Award, the Jacobs Blocking Trophy. He's a very clean prospect, Scoot. And just hearing him talk last night when he came on with the guys after being selected, you like to get to know the guy a little bit personally. And he had some great things to say with us last night. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, he got really emotional. Looks like he's really excited to be with the Saints. Look, one of the reasons the Eagles are the Super Bowl champions is because they had a good offensive line. And again,
right,
that's the dirty work. That's the ugly work of a football team. And they don't get enough attention. But those are the guys that really make it happen, whether it's the passing game or the run game.
Right, and Kellen Moore came on after the first round had wrapped up. And he basically echoed those sentiments, saying that it's a big boy game. Right, and you want to be able to win in the trenches. You want to be able to win up front. And Kelvin Banks Jr. is definitely the start of kind of building an identity up front, too. Now, Scoot, there's a couple of things I want to give out here as well. The 33rd team had a great tweet about his collegiate career, the last two seasons specifically. And I think folks would like to hear this. 1,043 pass-blocking snaps. He only allowed two sacks, 3 quarterback hits, and a 2.1 pressure rate allowed. So, you know, when we asked him about, is he more of a pass protecting left tackle or a run, you know, run blocking left tackle, he said he was a little bit of both, but I'd really love to see those pass pro numbers. And just watching some, you know, film on him in the run blocking game, he's a mauler at left tackle. Now, we'll see what they end up doing with him, where he ends up playing. Jeff and I are going to be talking about that in a little bit, you know, just kind of projecting what they want to do with Kelvin Banks since Taliese Fuaga, last year's first round pick, was their starting left tackle all year, and he was excellent. Do they move him back to his natural position at right tackle and have Kelvin Banks start at left tackle? Do they have him start at left guard potentially? Because that's a big question mark on the offensive line. There's still some things that need to be decided with this pick. But if you're talking about a safe player and a safe bet in the top 10, I think the Saints landed one.
Well, and here's a guy who's going to start his first year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, day one starter, for sure.
Yeah. Now, what is the big difference between the role of a guard and the role of a tackle? And which one is more important?
Yeah, it's a different kind of process, either attacking the edge rushers or interior defensive line. The closer you get to the middle, right, with obviously the center is the most important position on the offensive line because he's like the quarterback of the offensive line. But having those bookend tackles is extraordinarily important. And that's why I think, you know, when you see teams and how they value tackle versus guard, you typically, and last night, I know that Tyler Booker went at pick 12, and he's an offensive guard from Alabama. He went to the Dallas Cowboys. But typically, teams view tackle, specifically left and right tackle, as the higher, you know, priority positions on the offensive line because you're going against the higher priority positions on the defensive line and the edge rushers. So
okay. You're
starting to see a little bit of a shift in that in recent years where people do value the interior of defensive line and offensive line. You have to have good guard play. You have to have good defensive tackle play. But at the same time, edge versus tackle is the most important.
Charlie, is he healthy?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's one of the biggest, actually, thumbs up for Kelvin Banks. I don't think he missed a game. He actually missed a couple games in his junior year. But as far as all 3 years at left tackle, he started a ton of games in college.
Yeah, well, let me just mention that I was listening, later in the evening, even after he was selected, and I just want to say that it's really fun to listen to Bobby the longer the show goes on. I'll just leave it at that. But anyway, they started talking about his arm reach, and apparently, like, his arm reach, that this may be one negative against him, but it's like, you know, how important is that when it comes to a tackle?
Yeah, that was the knock on Will Campbell specifically, the LSU left tackle. So here's the numbers real quick, Scoot, to answer your last question. Started all 13 games at left tackle in 2022, started all 14 games at left tackle in 2023 for Texas, and then this past year started 15 games at left tackle, but he missed the SEC championship game with an ankle injury. So he missed one game in 3 years in college. Going back to your term about arm length, like that was the big knock on Will Campbell in the pre-draft process. At the same time, like if you look at the tape and you see a guy that's just a solid, you know, pass protector and run blocker, and you really like his tape, you really like his footwork, you like his hand movement, hand placement, I think that, you know, you can get over some of that. I've always thought, Mike and I agree about this, that sometimes analytics, the quote unquote analytics nerds, will get a little bit too invested in arm length. I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see where that would be an advantage when it comes to a receiver, but not an offensive tackle. So the Saints have a number of picks coming up in the second round today.
Yes, they have. They start with pick 40 in round two, which is going to be very interesting to see what they end up doing. There's a lot of good players still left on the board that either fell to this spot due to injury concerns, like kind of questionable medicals or character concerns and stuff like that. But if you're looking at WWL draft analyst Mike Tillier's big board, there is a ton of good players on the board. We'll see what happens, and Jeff and I are going to talk more about this in the pre-draft show. A lot of folks think that they're going to take a quarterback at pick 40, which, you know, I think that's a good thing that we have to note as well, that they didn't trade any assets to move back into the first round this year and chase a quarterback. They instead decided to stay put. They only made the 9th overall pick last night. And tonight now they have all three of their draft picks with 40, I think it's 73 and 93 in the third round. So we'll see if they use all three of them. But like I mentioned at the very start of this, Scoot, it's kind of viewed as a quote-unquote meat and potatoes draft where you may not get superstar players, but you should be able to find a lot of quality starters. And I'm hoping the Saints use all three of those picks and find some studs.
What quarterback might they find in their pick today if they pick a quarterback?
A lot of people, this was one of the biggest things about last night with Shakur Sanders falling out of the first round, the quarterback from Colorado, Deion Sanders' son. I still am not convinced that the Saints are going to take him, Scoot. I've talked about this a lot on Sports Talk, that Kellen Moore, obviously the first-year head coach of the Saints, was not in attendance at his pro day at Colorado. And it just feels like if Kellen is going to pick a guy, which he should have the final say on whatever quarterback they end up picking, because he's going to be kind of locked at the hip a little bit with him early on in his Saints tenure. I think that he would have, left every stone unturned with the scouting process. And the fact that he wasn't there is a little bit of a sign to me that I don't think they're going to pick Shedeur Sanders, especially, you know, if he even falls to pick 40 in the first place. I don't think that's the fit. Now, the other two quarterbacks that are on the board that are intriguing maybe in the second round, Jalen Milroe from Alabama and Tyler Shuck from Louisville. And Milroe is kind of the one that I lean towards because I think he's got a higher ceiling. But Mike has told me before that Tyler Shuck is maybe the QB1 on some different teams' draft boards. And I think that's more of an indictment on this QB class than anything else.
You know, when I saw Sanders play for Colorado this year, you know, there were some brilliant moments, but there were also some panic-like sloppy moments. And I, you know, there were, again, some brilliant moments, but I wasn't overly impressed. Like, you know, he was the person that everybody needed.
The biggest thumbs up for Shedeur Sanders is his accuracy skills. I mean, you can't really teach that. You just either have it or you don't. And his processing capabilities are very strong. But he's not the athlete that some people, I think, make him out to be. He doesn't have the arm strength that some people make him out to have. And so I just, you know, 32 teams last night told you that he wasn't a first-round pick, and that's why he's here in the second round. And once you get to the second round and day two, it gets a little bit more mucky, but that's where you have to start finding these, you know, starting level players that maybe have high floors over trying to take the high ceiling swing. I say that, but, you know, I'm also an advocate for taking Jalen Milroe if they take a quarterback in round two.
Yeah. He was really good this past season. So what about the idea of the Saints really looking for a running quarterback? They kind of have that with Spencer Rattler, and it seems like the league has just morphed into a league where a running quarterback is the prototypical quarterback now in the NFL.
And that's exactly what you'd be potentially getting with someone like Jalen Milroe, which, you know, his comp from Mike D was Jalen Hurts, who just won the Super Bowl with Philadelphia and Kellen Moore's offense. So I think that's kind of enticing, in my opinion. A kid with a great work ethic, by all accounts, too. There's some things that you have to kind of smooth out a little bit. You know, sometimes he tries to throw a 10-yard pass like he's throwing a 50-yard pass. But, you know, good coaching, I think, can fix a lot of things. And I trust Kellen Moore. So whoever he ends up deciding to take, if they, in fact, do go quarterback today, which, you know, I'm probably 60% sure they want to take a QB at some point, maybe closer to 70%. And if they do, round two is more likely than round three specifically. And in that situation, I think that Jalen Milroe could be a guy to watch.
All right. And joined Charlie and Jeff Nowak this afternoon starting at 4 o'clock for Draft First Take. And that's going to be right here on WWL. And a lot more still to come. So a lot coming up in the second round. Charlie, thanks for your time and your expertise. And we'll hear you later.
All right, Scoot.
All right, if you want to join us with a comment, Free for All Friday, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, tomorrow at Jazz Fest on the Shel Gentile stage, 4 o'clock, Irma Thomas. I don't know if she's going to play this song, but this is my personal Irma Thomas favorite. I mean, I love some of her other songs, but Breakaway is truly my favorite Irma Thomas song, and I remember listening to this when I was a kid. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the festival stage, Sunday at 5 o'clock, the Dave Matthews Band. Big weekend. Jazz Fest going on right now. Some of you might be heading in that direction right now. We're going to be talking about Jazz Fest. We'll talk to Tab Benoit later in the show, and also Fred LeBlanc from Cowboy Mouth. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Free for All Friday. Let's go to Covington, and Hank joins us on WWL. Good afternoon, Hank. Hello, Hank.
Some stories. So, you there?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Several years before Katrina, Jazz Fest, walking around, my wife and I grabbed something to eat, and she said, there's a guy keeps looking at you, the one with the cameras. So I kind of noticed him. He walked up to me, blonde hair, blue-eyed, fair-complected, and spoke to me, obviously, an accent that wasn't from here. Sounded like Denmark, Sweden, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, back then, cameras were a lot different. He had four or five cameras hanging from him. Plus, he also had this big identification placard with his picture on it. And what he was a freelance photographer that traveled all over. He's been to New Orleans on several occasions. He was interested in my T-shirt. Ironically, your commercial was about T-shirts. And what we had on the back of this T-shirt, we belonged to an old motorcycle club. You had to be 55 and older to join it. And we had an artist draw this picture. And you had to look at this. It was a fat boy motorcycle with an alligator sitting on top of it with shrimp boots on. And the caption was, "Galloping Gators from Down in Da Parish." The girl he was with says, "Where's that?" And my wife started to say St. Bernard, and the guy says, "Oh, Rocky and Carlos."
Wow, interesting.
It freaked us. He had been here so many times, and you talk about an impact of people internationally traveling over here, and to just, Rocky and Carlos. And this girl was from the Garden District. She had never heard of Rocky and Carlos. And here's this guy 2,000 miles away or 3,000 miles. He knew, isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. It's crazy. Hey, it's cool that they noticed your shirt and wanted to talk to you.
Well, ironically, and I'll finish the story real quick, he took my name and address and everything, and several months later, I received this package, and it had all kind of stamps on it, where it came from, and it was an international stamps and everything. So I opened the package up, and lo and behold, there's this magazine. This guy took these pictures of Jazz Fest, and on one of the pages was my T-shirt sitting there with my wife.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
And we lost it in Hurricane Katrina. It was one of my prized possessions, along with when my wife had a scarf from Elvis. It was kept in the same package.
That's really cool. But so when I point out that if you want to get promotions for your business, you want to brand your business, man, get a T-shirt and put something on the back of it and walk around Jazz Fest with it. And a lot of people, because we see a lot of backs when we're walking around Jazz Fest.
Exactly right. It was just it was a funny thing. But anyway, it's one of those, people say, what do you remember about Jazz Fest? And I've been to Jazz Fest. That will never leave my memory. It was just crazy.
That's a great story. Hank, thank you for sharing that with us. If you're on hold, hang on. More of your calls, more of your text messages coming up at Jazz Fest tomorrow afternoon, 12:20 on the Shel Gentile stage, the Dixie Cups. And they're just so traditional. At one point, the Dixie Cups, I believe the Dixie Cups replaced the Beatles at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. They were huge, and they're still, they've lost a member, but they're still the Dixie Cups. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1974, Pamela Corson, who was Jim Morrison's girlfriend and the one who found him dead in the bathtub, she died of a heroin overdose on this day in 1974. I guess she found some of Jim's leftover heroin, and I'm really sad that, she didn't learn a lesson from her boyfriend Jim and was doing heroin, died of a heroin overdose on this day in 74. Guess how old she was? 27. Just like Jim Morrison, just like so many others, died at 27. I'm Scoot. It is a Free for All Friday. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to more calls and more text messages. We're going to continue to feature some of the music as our bumper music of some of the groups that are performing at Jazz Fest. Also, we're going to give you an update on Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana was rushed to the hospital. He was backstage getting ready to perform at the Majestic Theater, which is kind of like the Sanger of San Antonio. And he had an incident, and he was rushed to the hospital. We'll tell you what's going on with that, because Santana is scheduled to perform at Jazz Fest 2025. So we'll give you an update on that coming up. Also, we'll talk a little bit more about the movie Conclave, which is very relevant since Pope Francis has passed away and the Catholic Church is figuring out who should be the next pope. Also, if you want to comment on the Saints' first-round draft pick, it's Kelvin Banks, an offensive tackle from the University of Texas. I think it is an excellent pick. Not exciting in a lot of ways, but man, look, this is the player you need to have. You need to have a good offensive line to have a good team. It starts with the offensive line, so I'm thrilled with this pick. All right, I'm Scoot. A lot more still to come on Free for All Friday on WWL.